So it's been a while since we've done this. We're kind of getting the swing of it. And for those of you who are here today and you're thinking, man, it's Christmas, just know you will not have to hear from me next week. All right, so that should enlighten your heart. And what a beautiful day it was. I mean, half of our worship team was in the hospital with mom or at home with dad. But man, did you see we got a new worship singer today, right? Y'all saw that? Yeah. And I'm not trying to sound holier than thou, but every single week before we begin service, anyone that steps on the stage, we join in my office and we gather and we pray. And I asked Kaylee, I said, hey, what made you choose to weather the storm and face the fear? She said, Miss Lewis told me to, so I'm here. And I'm just glad we have obedient children in today's world. So praise God for her. But we need to pray for Kenny and Terry, who are battling right now, and Kenny Charbonneau as well. So today I want to answer a question. Those of you who have either parented, grandparented, or been around kids, you know that they love this one particular question. Can you share it with me if you know it? Why? 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 We're going this way. Why? That's not the long way. That's the long way, Dad. No, you don't know how to get to Grandma's house. I do. This is the way we're going. Well, why? This is the long way. We argued with my 3-year-old yesterday that there were bears in the movie Mulan from Potosi to St. John. And we wanted to prove her wrong, but she would always ask, why is that in this movie? It's in the other movie. And then we argued. But one thing that kids love to do is they love to ask questions. Why? And here's the thing I would tell you. If you're a parent, it may drive you crazy, but please do not ever quench that thirst to know more. Never quench the desire to know more. Because guess what? You and I have just as many questions as why or how. So today I want to ask a question that many kids often ask. And in my life group one night, on a Monday night, we sat here for quite a while until about 11:45 trying to answer the question, why? Why, God? Is what we tried to discuss amongst a group of 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds for approximately 4 hours. And we left with the same conclusion that we began with. We don't know why. But the question is, why today? Why do we celebrate Christmas? Why do we celebrate Christmas? Why? Why? I mean, why do we celebrate it? Why do you celebrate Christmas? You can answer if you want. You don't have to. But I want you to think about it for just a minute. Why do you celebrate Christmas? And like both of my girls would answer, and I would answer to an extent, because it's the day of Jesus' birth, right? It's the birthday of our Savior. And today I want to take it just a little bit deeper if we can. Because I don't want you to leave here. How do I word this? I had all week to word this, and I'm just now wondering why would I word it like that? Why? Now, this is how I want to word it. I don't want you to leave here thinking that in a few weeks, a couple of weeks, that sitting around a tree, sharing gifts with one another, just remembering that the greatest gift was born 2,000 years ago is the proper way to, I would say, worship, praise, or celebrate. It's a little bit deeper, and I want to answer the question why just a little bit deeper. So join me in turning to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. And I should have it on the screen. There we go. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. I want to read this, and I really want to drive something home today if we can. So this is the angel appearing to, do you remember who he's appearing to at this point? To Joseph. Because Joseph was a little doubtful how his fiance is going to bear a child that he didn't have anything to do with. So The angel appears to Joseph, and this is what he goes on to say. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Can we pray together? I just want to pray before we go any further, before I rip this ear. It's all over the place. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you so much for these people. And I know they're probably wondering, well, why is he stuttering all over his words so much this morning? Why? Because I hope and pray that they will set their hearts right now in this very moment to hear directly from you. I pray that over the next few minutes that we have together that you will speak through me. I will get out of the way, and that the Spirit would convict us, confront us, comfort us, whatever it is that we came into this place needing, that you would speak to us and we would humble ourselves and in such a way to desire to hear what you are trying to say to us today. And Father, I just pray that ultimately people would leave this place differently than they came. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here we are in Christmas season. You're about to gather with friends and family. If you haven't already, you're going to share gifts, and you're going to steal gifts from one another, and you're going to eat lots of food, and you're going to have lots of fun, and you're going to make lots of memories, and you're going to spend a lot of money and go in a lot of debt and work a lot more hours in the new year to repay your debt or the bank account drainage that you experienced this time of the year. And you don't have to look at your spouse to remind them of what they have done or what they're going to do. But I'm just telling you, my wife isn't here for me to look at, as she has done some damage already. All right. And I thank the Lord for her. But seriously, you're going to have a wonderful time over the next couple weeks. But some of you, it's going to be a very difficult time. It's going to be. You're not going to have the memories this year that you may have had last year. Or this time of the year is difficult because you remember what used to be is it is no longer. But if we could think about it for just a minute, because whenever people are usually asked, what is Christmas? Everyone says what? The birth of Jesus, right? But if we can take it just a little bit further, because I believe that we need to understand, and what I want my girls to know, and what I want anyone that ever comes into this church under my spiritual leadership, whether that be forever and ever, or whether that be a while, temporarily, however it is, you're here or I'm here, I hope and I pray that you will understand that it is more than the birth of a child. It is so much more. And maybe you saw it on Facebook, this little catchy quote I had yesterday. Maybe it was cheesy. I don't know what it was. But what I said was this: the Christmas story is much deeper than the birth of a child. It is the bridge to a life that only Jesus can offer. So here's what I want to go with you today. I want you to understand that 2,000 years ago, wrapped in a manger and swaddling cloths, was much more than a sweet baby boy. It was the day and time in which everlasting hope came to earth. It was the day and the time and the hour, the minute in which everlasting life started to breathe. Why? Because Jesus came on mission. Of Jesus, but it is truly the time in which my Savior came for me. It is the moment in time in history in which the Savior of the world put on bone and flesh for you and for me. That's what I want him to know. That's what I want you to know. As beautiful as it is, we have him behind us in a manger, if you can see it. We have, oh man, that's like $400, $500, man. If I pick up cans this week, y'all know why. Bruce, Corey, but we have them in a manger. We have candles lit. We have trees decorated. But if you can truly understand that it was in this very moment that payment put on flesh. Payment for what? for your sin and my sin. The reason that Christmas morning is so special to me, and this is why we're trying to prepare our hearts in this season of what we call Advent, trying to prepare you to properly celebrate, to properly worship on that Christmas morning when you have the kids running through the house, or you smell the cookies, or Santa just left footprints, and you don't know how they got there, but there's flour all over the floor, and Santa walked through the house, and all of these beautiful, magical things that we do when we celebrate. I want you to wake up as I plan to wake up, rejoicing and thanking God that this was the day that the process of redemption and reconciliation began. Because for generations they had prophesied about, they had anticipated this very moment. And just like in technology, when something is waiting, it pops up waiting. And for decades, this moment was waiting. But then when you download something onto your computer, it transitions to in progress. And it was on this very day, 2,000 years ago, that the plan of redemption was in progress. And we know that 30 to 33 years later, Jesus would give himself up and hang on a cross for a wretch like me and a wretch like you. I mean, just you, if you have no other reason to rejoice on December 25th, you should rejoice because God so loved you in this way that he sent his only begotten Son for you. But what I want you to understand is that the Bible says that he will save his people from their sin. And it's got an S on the end. Because if you live a little while, you're going to commit more than one. You're going to commit many. And if you're like me for a while, you're going to repeat many. And you're going to overcome many. And then sometimes you're going to fall right back into the trap of many. But I want to just touch on two things that Jesus saved you and me from when it comes to our sin. And there's so many things that we could go on about. I mean, we could go on and on and on about all of the ways in which sin plays a role in our life and the destruction that it brings and the conflict that it brings. But I want you to understand two things, just two things today. The first thing is separation. As you read in the Bible in Genesis chapter 1, God created the heavens and the earth. And then you read the story of God creating man, in which God lived in perfect harmony, perfect communion with Adam and with Eve. And then you read in Genesis chapter 3 that sin entered the world. And they disobeyed the commands of God. And if you recall in that particular chapter, God comes and he speaks to the serpent, and then he speaks to Eve, and then he speaks to Adam. And then what he does next is that he casts them out of the garden. Do you remember that? He casts them out of the garden and then set it to where they could not enter back in because there was another tree there that had they ate, they would have been able to live in sin forever and ever. So God cast them out. It was in the very moment that sin entered the world that separation between man and creator began. And we talked about it, I think, a couple of weeks ago on the first day of Advent that we started to celebrate that I said when light came into the world, it came because of separation. What I want you to know is that when Jesus died on the cross for you and rose on the third day, he came to save you from separation from your Father, from your Creator. Because God had originally designed it for Adam and Eve and him to dwell in perfect communion. And then when sin entered in, there was then separation. And what took place over the next few generations and centuries was then people had to pay a price for their sin, right? Do you guys remember all throughout the Old Testament, people would purchase based off how much money they had a certain kind of animal. And then they would pay that price by sacrificing that animal on an altar. And the blood shed of that animal was the payment, was the atonement, was the covering for their sin. And it's all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, at the end of chapter 3 into the beginning of chapter 4, you see that when God cast them out, God clothed them, right, Adam? Meaning that God took the life of an animal to clothe them, to cover them in their sin. And then all the way until Christmas Eve, which wasn't a day back then, but it is for us, all the way until Christmas Eve, the way that people would pay for their sin and be right with God was through sacrifice. Which is why John the Baptist, as he sat in the water, said, "There is the Lamb." Do you guys remember this? There is the Lamb of God. There is the payment. There is the sacrifice that is going to be made. There is the blood offering that will be poured out for the sins of the world. There is the Lamb of God, referencing what had been taking place for centuries, that blood shed was the covering or the atonement of sin. So when Jesus came and he died, he was saving you and he was saving me from the separation that we was once in place between God and man. And what happened as he died on the cross is the Bible says that the veil was torn at the temple. Because in the temple there was a place called the Holy of Holies, in which the presence of God dwelled. And only the high priest could ever enter into. But on that day, the veil was torn. And then the Bible tells us that now that we can confidently approach the throne room of grace, meaning that through Jesus Christ, we can confidently live in relationship. We do not have to live for and struggle with separation, because the Bible says that those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Those who put their faith in Jesus Christ shall not die but have eternal life. Those who follow Jesus, we shall be saved. We shall live forever and ever. And what that's saying is that there is no more separation between me and my Father. So when Jesus came, his name shall be called Jesus, for he will save his people. He has saved me from eternal separation. The wages of sin is death. Death is separation. So when the Bible says that death is the wages of our sin, it is literally saying the way that you will pay for your sin is that you will be eternally separated from your Father. Eternally. But Jesus came in our place, so that we would not have to settle for separation, but that we could live and dwell in relationship with our God. That's why you should celebrate. That's why on Christmas morning you should sing songs and praises and worship, because you have an invitation and an opportunity to live forever and ever in relationship with a holy, righteous God who died on a cross for you. That's the invitation you have. Not just, pretty baby Jesus wrapped in a manger. No, no, no. The Savior of the world that came to put a stop and a death to separation came in your place wrapped in humility for you. And then the other thing that I want to hit real quick is that sin causes jealousy. And let me just unpack this for a minute, because maybe you don't truly understand what I mean by jealousy. I'm not talking about jealousy like, did you just see her talk to him? We're going to talk about that one at home. Not that kind of jealousy. Did you see how much closer he was to her than he is to me? Not that kind of jealousy. What I want you to understand is that when you choose to live in sin, not only are you choosing to live in separation from your Father, from your Creator, but you also are causing jealousy in the heart of God. Now, let me explain this. Let me explain this, because maybe it's a little
little like, well, what does he mean here? Genesis chapter 1, God created the heavens and the earth. He created man. They lived in perfect harmony, like Michaela and I do. Perfect harmony. And then Genesis chapter 3 came. And this is why I always tell people when they tell me, well, the world's never been in such a bad place. Well, God wiped them out 6 chapters in. Like, just be thankful, all right? Just be thankful. It could be a whole lot worse than this. But Genesis chapter 6, we see that God says, no, 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 all of the deeds and thoughts and desires of man are evil. And he saw favor in Noah, and he saved Noah and his family, and he led Noah to build an ark. But in Genesis chapter 6, I pulled this up on my phone because I didn't think about putting it on the screen for you, but I'll encourage you with this. It said that the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. The reason I say that your sin, my sin, leads to jealousy in the heart of my God is because it grieves him to his heart. The reason he grows jealous is because he has given you an invitation to live in relationship with him. Jesus came to not to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom. And then he also said that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give life and life more abundantly. Jesus came to give you a life that only he can offer. It was on the day of Christmas 2,000 years ago that this life truly started to breathe, so that those who would believe in the name of Jesus, those who would surrender themselves to him as Lord of lords and King of kings, those who would follow him would then be able to walk in this life that he came to offer. But when we choose to live in sin, we are causing jealousy in this way, because God has a life, a hope for you and for me. And when we choose to live in our sin because we think that this life is all about our desires, our name, our temporary satisfactions, we are completely rejecting the life that he died for. So when you and I choose to do things on our way, according to our way, when we choose to sin, when we choose to live in sin, when we choose to just kind of accept sin and just take it for what it is, we are truly missing out day after day on the life in which Jesus came to give you, came to give me. And the reason that it grieves him, and I believe the reason that it still grieves him today, is because God created you to do one thing, to glorify him in all you do. To bring him glory in the way that you love people. To bring him glory in the way that you wrap your arms around people. To bring him glory in the way that you think, the way that you talk, the way that you act. And so many people. And the reason I say so many is because Jesus said that the wide gate is traveled by many. So many people will live this life their way, their will, completely missing out on the life in which God created you to live. But it doesn't have to be that way. As I mentioned earlier, it was more than the birth of a child. It was a bridge to a new life. So this time of the year, I would ask you to consider this one thing, this one thought or question. Are you truly living in the life in which God created you to live? Do your desires match his desires? Do your thoughts bring God glory? Do your actions bring God glory? Does your language bring God glory? Does your free time bring God glory? The reason I say this is because I posted this thought this past week in our church group. This thought of if someone were to follow you for a month that did not know you and you did not know them, would they come to the conclusion that you were truly a genuine Christian? Or would they come to the conclusion that, man, he does or she does some good things and they entertain the thought of prayer in church and they even say grace before dinner? But if someone did not know you and you did not know them and they followed you for an entire month, would they see that your thoughts, your words, your deeds truly bring glory to your Father? Because without Jesus, there's no way to bring glory to our Father. But when Jesus came born, just as prophesied about, and as he laid wrapped in a manger, he then provided you and me a way to live that would bring glory and honor to our Father. If we choose to surrender ourselves completely, repent of our sin, not repeat, and not just push under the rug and just try to justify and rationalize our sin. But if we would truly repent from our sin, the Bible says that we should be saved. We should be saved from what? From our sin. From our separation and from the cause of jealousy that grieves the heart of our Creator. So my simple question is, it's really simple. What are you choosing today? What are you choosing today? I mean, you came in here ready to worship and excited. It's Christmas time. The weather's pretty. It's sunny outside. And it's not cold or raining or snowing. So, of course, I'll go to church and I'll worship. It's pretty outside. Ah, but you came in for such a deeper reason than that. I pray and I hope that you came here to worship hope that came 2,000 years ago. I hope and I pray that you came in here to rejoice in the life that started to breathe 2,000 years ago. I hope and I pray that you came in here remembering all of the times in which God made a way where there was no way, when he started to provide when you could not do it, when he was the only reason that you got up off the bed and off the couch and had any sense of motivation to carry on in the day. And I hope and I pray that you came in here ready to rejoice in song and thanksgiving for the simple fact that he saved you and me from our sin. That's why I want to come to church. I love seeing you all. But I love to sing songs of praise with fellow people that can sing about the amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. We can look at a picture of and remember the old rugged cross carried for me. We can sing songs and praise and we can pray together. But I want you to simply ask the question today before I close up and then we'll leave. What are you choosing today? Because you're choosing separation or you're choosing life. You're choosing to live in sin and separate yourself from the life that God has come 2,000 years ago in the form of a baby wrapped in a manger to offer. We either bring glory to his name or grieve his heart. It's that simple. We bring glory to his name or we grieve his heart. And my hope and my prayer is that this Christmas season, you would come to grips with the fact that maybe for weeks now, months now, years now, you have chosen to live in sin. But I also want to encourage the ones that have chosen not to. There are many here that have chosen to live in relationship with our Lord to bring glory to his name. And if I could just encourage you to keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. Because there is a day to come in which we will see him face to face. And we will either rejoice in his presence, or we will tremble with fear. And my hope is that any person, whether that be in my house or under the spiritual leadership that I have to offer, will be prepared for the moment in which they rejoice in the presence of their Savior, thanking him for what he came to do for you. Let's pray together.